We're going to continue with our Never Again list. And I know it's Palm Sunday, but I think this is important to continue with our Never Again list. So we're going to start, and you're going to see I've changed it a little teeny bit, and we're going to read it together. Okay, so never again will I confess I can't. For I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. You got the idea? Let's go back and do that again. Go ahead. Never again will I confess I can't. For I can do all things through Jesus Christ strengthens me. Philippians 4, 13. Never again will I confess I lack. For my God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Philippians 4, 19. Never again will I confess fear. For God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1, 7. This is the new one today. Never again will I confess doubts and lack of faith. For God has given to every man the measure of faith. Romans 12, 3. How many of you ever doubt? Don't we doubt? I wonder if doubting could be a problem.
I doubt. No.
It's called throwing a softball. Here, yo, hit this. Out of the park! Out of the park, a home run. This is craziness. Let me tell you some things that some of the religions of the world believe. Hinduism believes in what's called the caste system and in reincarnation. That depending on how you live your life on this earth will directly be dependent upon what you come back as in the next life. If you see a beggar or somebody starving to death in the street, you may not want to help him. Guess why? He's getting what he deserves. He's getting what he deserves. And he needs to do better in this life so he can come back the next life and be in a better caste system. Anybody believe that?
No.
Anybody doubt that's true?
I doubt.
Yeah, probably, huh? I mean, in Mormonism, I think that in Mormonism they believe that you get to inherit your own planet. Oh, you get to inherit your own planet, and you get to have spiritual children. You get to have your own, you know, out of this world place. Fact is, some believe that this earth is one of those places, and Adam and Eve were the ones that got their spiritual children, and we're part of that. Anybody believe that?
No.
Anybody doubt that? You doubt that? Well, how about Joseph Smith from Jehovah's Witnesses? Was it Jehovah's Witnesses? No. We got the angel Moroni. In the Mormon, angel Moroni came to him and gave him the hidden work, the last book called the Book of Mormon. And he could only see it and interpret it through magic crystals that were rocks. Am I right?
Yep.
Anybody believe that?
No.
You doubt that? Well, there's a religion that believes this man was killed. Now, he was dead for 3 days. And then somehow he raised himself to life when he was dead. Let's say that one more time. There was this man, and he was killed. He was crucified on a cross, and he's dead. And he stayed dead for 3 days. And after 3 days, this man who was dead raised himself while being dead to life. You believe that?
Yeah.
Guess what some other world religions would say in some other place? I doubt that. I know a religion that believes that a woman gave birth without ever having known a man. We'll run that by you again. How many understand biology?
Yeah.
How many wish you learned biology before you learned it? I know a religion that believes a woman gave birth to a son and never had sexual relations with a man. How many believe that? But you know, in other places, guess what they were saying? No, it's no way. Everybody knows how that works. That's just no way. That cannot happen. I know a religion where they believe that a man raised somebody from the dead after they've been dead for quite a while. Do you believe that's possible? Why don't they do that today? I mean, there's a lot of people. There was a whole bunch of people right now in hospice care around this city. I couldn't even begin to tell you how many there are, but certainly there are born again, Bible thumping, card carrying, blood bought, sanctified, Bible scripture reading kind of men and women that could be down and laying hands on some dead people. Didn't Jesus say we can do more works, mighty works than He? How many know He said that? Yeah. Wouldn't you think that some people, some Bible thumpers, how many Bible thumpers you got in this room? Why would some Bible thumpers going down and laying hands on the people raising them? I'm just throwing it out. Is it possible?
Yes.
Why is it not done?
No.
Does anybody in this room ever known a time that it was done? Not heard about, I mean, you witnessed it personally where somebody's been dead for 3 days and they went down to the Allegheny County Morgue and they laid hands on somebody and somebody walked out. Does that add credibility to what we believe, or does it take it away? I mean, you're sitting there thinking, even as I talk to you, aren't you? You're thinking about it. I mean, I know this man, in one religion that we're going to talk about, that made blind people see. True? He did. There are a lot of blind, in fact, there's a whole blind school in Swissville. I pass it every day. How many know the school for the blind? There's a school for the deaf too, right? I know that this man, Jesus, made deaf people hear. Didn't he? And he said, you will be doing greater works than me. Did he say that?
Yes.
Why aren't there some people going down to that school for the deaf and helping some people hear? And the problem with it is, other people in other places where they worship say, yeah, right. And why isn't it being done? Do you have doubt? Am I planting seeds of doubt with you? Am I, even in my words, am I in any way, shape, or form creating any kind of doubt in your mind? I am? You see how easy this is? How easy is that to create some seeds of doubt? And I'm a 65-year-old, soon-to-be 66-year-old, slightly incapacitated, still recovering, not even 100%, old guy. And I just created seeds of doubt in you, and Satan will have a field day with you. I'm an old guy with a binder on. Sissy just packed me today. Praise God for Sissy and her Q-tips. And her, you know, when I married Sissy on her honeymoon, she didn't look like the way she looks now. She stands over me, she's got her gloves on, she goes, and she gets them Q-tips. Now, I'm not talking about the kind you clean your ears with. I'm talking about Q-tips. And one side's got the little soft cotton part on, and the other one ain't. Just a stick. And she stands over me and she says, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts. And I say, I doubt it. And so if I can create doubt in your minds, what can Satan do? What could Satan do?
A lot worse.
And I wonder how much doubt he has been feeding into your minds.
All our lives.
All your life? Okay. Did you know? Butch, can I see your God's word? Did you know that if Butch doubts one letter, just one sentence of this book, guess what happens? The whole book is what?
Wrong.
One sentence. Right? No. One sentence, not 66 books. One sentence. If you say, I don't think so. Jimmy, what happens to the whole book? It's all gone. I wonder how many of you in this room have doubted one sentence of the book. Thank you, brother, for being the bold and honest one in this room. How many else have doubted at least one sentence in this book one time? Come on, I say, who doubted it? Who doubted it? One sentence, right? One sentence of the book. Once you doubt one sentence of the book, what happens to the rest of the book? Colin? No good. It's no good. And brothers and sisters in Christ, this is the church. This isn't the people out on the streets and highways and byways of life. This is the who?
Church.
The church. It's us. When we doubt one, what do you think the world's doubting? All of it. All of it. And when you start to doubt things like, well, now, Pastor Tom, you know the King James Version of the Bible is the real one. Everybody in the whole world knows the King James is the real one. And all them other ones, they're probably not real. Well, let me run this by you, Bible thumpers. Did you know the King James is a translation too?
Yes.
How many understand that King James did not start King James? It started in the Greek and the Hebrew.
Yeah.
Somebody took the Greek and the Hebrew and the Aramaic and they made a King James. How many know that's the first translation? And all those who opened it up said, that ain't the real one. Right? Well, here's the problem we got with that. Let me give you seeds of doubt. Here's the seeds of doubt, right? How many have other than a King James on their lap right now? Who has an NIV? Give an NIV, stand up a minute. NIV, stand up. Man, that's too bad. Sit back down. Shoot. How many's got a new King James version in his Bible? Who's got a new King James? They got a new King James in the Bible? Jesse got a new King James? Okay. Well, what's wrong with the old one? Why'd you get a new one? What's wrong with the old one? How many's got a CEV? Ooh. How many's really a heathen reading the Message? Come on, how many heathens? You a heathen? You read the Message? Okay, who else reads the Message?
On occasion.
Ta-da! You and me, we're in the heathen club, brother. We're not even reading a translation. We're reading a paraphrase. We're in a bad way now. So let me help you with your seeds of doubt, brothers and sisters. For your doubters, the doubters say, but you know, if I told Char something, and she told Colin something, and he told Robin something, by the time it gets all the way over there to Katie, I say to Char, I came today to work in a white Nissan Armada. And we stopped at McDonald's and I got an egg McMuffin. By the time it gets back over to here, you came in your yellow convertible and you stopped at Denny's. The doubters will say, you know by the time it's passed down from generation to generation to generation to generation, you know it has to be wrong. Well, all you doubters, you know what you're taking out of the equation? The Holy Spirit of God. You're taking Him out. Let me help you with that. I say to Char, I came to work today in a white Nissan Armada, and I stopped at McDonald's and I had an egg McMuffin. Turn around and tell Colin. And she turns around and says, Colin, hey, you know Pastor Tom came to work today in the yellow car? And I said, no, that's wrong. Tell him again. And I want every single person, when it goes all the way down, I'm saying, no, that's wrong, correct it. No, that's wrong, correct it. No, that's wrong. By the time I get all the way back up there to Katie, she's going to say, he came to work in a white Nissan Armada, and he stopped at McDonald's, and he got an A one up. And why? Because I corrected her every time somebody got it wrong. How many believe that?
Yes.
Doubt. Doubt will make you ineffective. And Satan knows it. How many of you doubt from time to time? Last week we talked about fear. Remember we talked about fear? Did you know fear directly is in correlation to doubt? Directly? In correlation to doubt? I want you to turn to your Bibles, please. And we're going to read Romans 12:3.
For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you.
In this place right now, with all the Bible thumpers and Christians in this room, do you have faith? What about non-believers? I want you to think that through, okay? I want you to, do non-believers have faith?
Yeah. They believe God. Sure.
Do they believe in God? Okay, let's read. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, who's the every one of you? Everybody. I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to who? Everybody. Everybody. Everybody has faith. You should accept it. Did you know that it's easier to believe than to disbelieve?
Yes.
Do you know you really have to work at disbelief? Let me explain to you how this works. My little granddaughter, Ivy, she's 3. And you know she's waiting for her baby brother to come into the world. And the plan is, since she's going to go to be in the labor, and I'm going to take care of Ivy and James. Now, Ivy knows I'm coming because I told her I'm coming. And when I get her, I already told Desiree, she's going to gain by 5 pounds before you get her back. Because we're going to go chowing out, me, Ivy, and James. Now, Ivy's 3. Now, I called Ivy and said, Pap's going to watch you, Ivy. Okay, Pap, can we get a happy meal? Oh, yeah, we get a happy meal. Got it covered. Now, do you think that she's home thinking right now, there's no way my Pap's coming?
No.
There's no way. My Pap is too busy. My Pap makes so many commitments. There's no way my Pap is going to come to get me. He's going to be at church. He'll probably have to go to work. You know, he's got all these things he's got to do. He's got to go down to the Sons of God and lead a service there tonight. He's still healing up. He hasn't got all that energy. There's no way my Pap's coming. You think she's thinking that?
Yeah.
You know what she's thinking? My Pap's coming. He's coming. And you know why she's thinking that? Because I said it. She said, my Pap's coming for me because he said it. That's it. End of the discussion. We, on the other hand, we have to go a different way, don't we?
Yep.
Well, you know, he's a busy guy. He's a real busy guy. You know, he does so many things. And Jimmy Cricket's even recovering from surgery, still out there doing so many things. He's not going to do that. He ain't got time for that. He's got time for that. We adults are the ones that plant the doubt, aren't we? We're the ones that mess it up. For example, apologetically, did God create everything in 6 days? Now, here's what you're going to say. Well, it all depends on what a day is. Because you know a day could be like 1,000 years. Right? A day could be like 1,000 years. So how do you know he really created that in 6 days? Kind of goes like this. Eve, what's that thing God said? See, in the Garden of Eden, Satan went after Eve. And he created what? some doubt. What is this thing God said to you, Eve? Well, he said, if we eat of that tree in the middle, or even touch it, we're going to die. He never said, don't touch it. He said, just don't eat it. He's creating what? Doubt. Oh no, Eve, you wouldn't die. He knows that when you eat that, you'll be just as smart as him. Little doubt. Now, how do you know God really created everything in 6 days?
Because
what?
Because the Bible says so.
What's your next question? Because the Bible says it. Anybody doubt that he created everything? No, you will never raise your hand now, I know that, but how many said, nah, 6 days, nah. No, God's time is God's time. How many really, truly, really, truly do believe that God created everything in 6 days? Anybody believe that in this room? 24-hour days. Anybody believe longer than 24-hour days? Okay, anybody believe that in this room? Let me see, who are you? Be the bold ones. No bold ones? Well, all those that didn't raise your hand when I said 6 days, you're the ones that's thinking otherwise. Did it rain for 40 days or 40 nights? 40 days or 40 nights? How long was a day? Let's suppose that a day in the Lord is worth 1,000 years. Everybody with me so far? Let's just suppose that one single day is worth 1,000 years in God's time. So therefore, 40 days equates to how many years? 40,000 years. Can you imagine how many critters must have been on that boat? I mean, in 40,000 years? Huh, that's a lot of critters. That's also a lot of people, too. So a day and 1,000, that can't make any sense, can it? So let's suppose that one day is worth 100 years. So it rained 40 days, which means 100 years for each day. How many years is that? 4,000. There's still that's a lot of critters on that boat. 4,000 years. Do you think it rained for 400 years? How about 40 years? How about 40 days? It's the same word used for day. There it is in the creative narrative. Same word. So why can't you believe that it's a 24-hour period? Because seeds of what?
Doubt.
And here's the biggest one, church. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to my Father except what? Does anybody have a hard time with that? I mean, when you really think about it, I mean, doesn't that sound, some people might have a hard time with that. What do you mean? Seeds of what? Doubt. And if I can create it in you, just think what Satan can do to you. Let's go to James chapter 1, verses 5 to 6.
If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind.
Do you conquer your doubts, or do your doubts conquer you? Did you know that your doubts will make you so ineffective? A doubter is unstable in all that they do. How many ever buy like an appliance and then you start to think about, should I have done that?
Buyer's remorse.
Huh?
Buyer's remorse.
Buyer's remorse. How many have a hard time making decisions? And that when you make it, you go, oh, is that the right one? How many?
Yeah.
Right? You start to doubt yourself, right? You start to doubt yourself. A doubter is unstable in all that they do. And if you're a doubter in your Christianity, you're unstable in all that you believe. And if you believe even one dot of the Bible is not true. The whole thing is not true. Is it easy for you to believe that Jesus Christ said, I am the only way? What about all the Muslims and all the Hindus and all the Jewish folks? What happens to them? And I know in my heart of hearts, because I talk to people all the time, when I say to you, you can't be good enough to get into heaven, what are you talking about? And I say to you that Charlie Manson conceivably could be in heaven if he asked for forgiveness of his sins and actually meant it. And I could say to you, he could be in heaven. And I always say, grandma up the street making cookies for the neighborhood kids can be in hell. You're going to say, it's not possible. That makes any sense. Right? That's seeds of what?
Doubt.
Do you doubt? You see, if you doubt, then anything that God says, you can doubt. How many know that Satan sits on your shoulder? Talks to you all day long. How many have that little guy talking to you all day long? Chirp, 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 chirp. Right? You ain't good enough. How are you going to get into heaven? There's no way. I can't be good enough. See, that's the seeds of doubt, right? When you got to say to yourself, it's not about how bad I am. It's about how good he is.
Amen.
It's not about me. It's about him. That's the doubt monster. That's the doubt monster. And that carries over into all kinds of relationships. Hey, I do marriage counseling. I tell you, that carries over into marriages. Well, he says he loves me, but I... Well,
doubt it.
He says he cares, but I...
Doubt it.
Doubt it. Yeah, I doubt it. In the minute you plant the seed of doubt, what happens?
You're in trouble.
Gross. Because Satan waters it. See, the question really, truly, when I do marriage counseling is not whether or not he or she loves you. The bigger question is, do you love them? Because that's where the doubt should be ceased, shouldn't it? You know, I could doubt whether Sissy loves me, but that's not the question. The question is, do I what? Love her. And that I should know. Right? I should know that part, shouldn't I? And Satan is going to make you ineffective. He can't take away your salvation, but he can sure take away your testimony. Let's turn our Bibles to Matthew 14, 22 to 33.
Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, why did you doubt? And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God."
Little faith equals doubt. See what that said? O ye of little faith, why did you doubt? They equate to one another. Great faith, little doubt. Little faith, great doubt. Did you know that people that doubt, The reason why they are ineffective is because they're always between belief and disbelief. Well, I believe this, but I'm not so sure I believe that. I don't believe this, but I do believe that. And they're always sitting in the middle of the what? Of the fence. Is that a good place to be?
No.
Jimmy, is that a good place to be, Pastor Jimmy? Belief and disbelief, right? Belief and disbelief. Then you're sitting on the middle of the fence. Right? And Jesus wrote a letter to the church in Laodicea and said, "Oh, how I wish. Gee, how I wish you were either hot or you were cold. Be one or the other. Be a believer or be a non-believer, but don't be a believer or non-believer. Don't sit in the middle of the road, because you know what? You're not hot, you're not cold, you are lukewarm, and you make me sick. You make me want to vomit." What? But did you know, that's just not in Christianity. That's also in relationships. That's also in marriages. That's in all kinds. That's within friendships. Well, I believe you love me on Monday, but I don't believe you love me on Tuesday. So where are you sitting? Little offense. Is that a good place to be?
No.
No. We need to stand and be convicted in our faith, or we will not stand for what?
Anything.
And Satan knows that. Satan knows that. So there are a couple things I want to give you some tools how we're going to fight that. The first one is that you want to have faith in God. And I'm not talking about God universal. I'm talking about the God of the Scriptures. Anybody believe in God of the Scriptures?
Amen.
Do you really truly believe that He's with you?
Yes.
Isn't that a strange thing too? Let me explain to you this way. When I go to the hospice care and I pray for somebody or sing to somebody that's, and Katie does that too. She goes and sings to people in hospice too, right? And we go see people in hospice and I tell them the gospel message. And I tell them, Jimmy, you've done this too. And I tell them about what Jesus had done for their life. And I tell them about repentance. And I tell them about accepting the blood of Christ. And I lead them in that whole direction. And we pray. And I say, okay, do you believe us? And they say, geez, I hope. Now, we might want to make, you know, light of that. But the answer should not be, I hope. The answer is what? Yes. Yes. Do you believe that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life in this room?
Yes.
Never to be blotted out?
No.
Do you believe that 24 hours a day?
Yes.
7 days a week?
Yes.
Anybody remind you in your ear about how bad you are?
Absolutely.
How many got that guy telling you too? How many got that guy telling you about all your mistakes and all of your past? And all? You know, that doubt monster, we all know that He's the father of all lies, right?
Right?
How many know He's the father of all lies?
Right.
But let me tell you this. The problem with the father of all lies is that when He reminds you of your past, He's telling you the truth.
Yes.
Let me work this by you one more time. See, if the father of all lies was telling you a lie, reminding you of your past, it wouldn't work. So the father of lies, the doubt monster, is telling you the truth. How many understand that? The only time He tells you the truth is when He reminds you of all that you have done in your life. Right? I got to seek permission here. If I seek permission from the people I want to seek permission from, it'll be too late. Do you believe that born-again Bible thumpers could ever have been witches? Do you believe that? Do you believe that the power of Christ to change you from the inside out could have such a profound effect in you that could make you be one of the people who do the most for the most people for Jesus? Do you believe that's possible?
Yes.
If I told you that there were a couple people in this church that practice witchcraft, would that surprise you? How many would really be surprised if I told you that? If I told you that in this room are two people that practice witchcraft, And the Lord Jesus grabbed a hold of them and turned them 360 degrees about 10 different times. And they are so faithful for the Lord. They are doing so much work for the Lord. You could hardly believe. Would you want to know who they were?
No.
You don't want to know? How come you don't want to know?
It doesn't matter.
Does that weird you out?
No.
What's that?
Fast is gone.
How many know Jesus brought you from a mighty long way?
Yeah.
A mighty long way, right? Well, if one of those persons or two of those persons would like to stand up and just say who they were, that'd be up to them, but I'm not going to point them out, okay? So if you want to stand up and say, you know, that was you, you know, that'd be kind of crazy. How many of you are shocked out of your drawers? Pastor Colin and Robin. How many are surprised? They are two of the strongest Christian people I know. How many agree with that? They go into the prisons and the highways and byways of life. And you know why it's so profound? Because they're able to deliver people from the same stuff.
Amen.
How many know Jesus can do a lot of stuff?
Amen.
Thank you for being so bold. Here are two of the most Christian people I know. How many agree with that?
Amen.
That's right. Highways and byways of prison, talking to murderers and pedophiles and rapists and all that kind of stuff. How many know God did a mighty work?
Yes.
Can He do it in you?
Yes.
Oh, I know. It's so easy to say yes, isn't it? It's so easy to say yes. But did He?
Yes.
How many say He did a mighty work in you too? And I'm so glad that I didn't ask. I should have asked them. Probably didn't put you on the spot. But chances are pretty good. If a lot of people got up here and say what God delivered you from, there'd be a lot of people surprised. How many know you might cause a little surprise in some people too? And so when Satan says to you, but you remember what you used to do, and you remember about all that stuff, you need to boldly proclaim to him, with no doubt, and with faith that can move mountains of obstacles, you need to say to him this: you are right. That's what I used to be. And everything you said, you are right. But let me remind you of something too. But I have been forgiven. And my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And what Jesus Christ did on that cross on Calvary, He did for me to wash away all that junk that you reminded me of. So let me just tell you something. I will spend the rest of eternity in heaven, and you will still rot in hell.
Amen.
I said, you need to say to Him. Is that true?
Yes.
So what's the first thing doubters need to do? You need to have faith in God. What's the next thing you need to do? Stand firm in His Word. You need to anchor yourself to something. There's a song that we sing up in Trenum. There's a storm out in the ocean, and it's coming this old way. If your soul's not anchored in Jesus, you will surely what? Drift away. So many times people will say to me, we're working on retention. Why do people come and why do people go? What's that, Jess?
Because they were never of us.
How many know in every church on every corner people come and people go?
That's right.
Is that not true? People come and people go. Because when trials and tribulations and wind and storms come, what happens? They're not anchored, so what happens?
They leave.
Or they may not like the pastor, or they may not like the music, or they might not like the cushions, or whatever. See, what they got to understand is, coming to church is not about the pastor. It's not about the music. It's about being anchored in Christ.
Amen.
And if you come to church and all you ever see is the pastor, or all you ever see is the music program, or all you ever see is the paint on the walls, you got a problem, because you need to be coming and seeing Jesus.
Amen.
You don't see Jesus, you better find another church. Because you're anchored in the wrong things. You could be anchored in Jim Jones who gave your kids Kool-Aid. You could be anchored in some TV evangelist and they get a big house. fancy cars. We need to be anchored in Christ. How many are anchored in Christ here this morning? And so you've got to understand that is the answer to your doubt. You need to clearly understand, and I then put up Ephesians 4:27, do not give a foothold for who? Satan. How many know he only needs a little one? Because when he plants the seeds of doubt in the Christian's mind and the door of doubt opens up, what does he do with his foot? Sticks it right in the door. And guess what you're not going to do? Close it. Never again. Never again shall we confess doubt or lack of faith. Never will we do that. Because the minute you do that, you are unstable. And you will be blown as the winds of time blow you. Every doctrine, every pastor, everybody will be able just to take you from here to there. This morning when I started the service with you, the truth of the matter is, and I, you know, you're watching me and I watch you, I said to you, how many of you did I plant some seeds of doubt? 50% of you did what? Here's what your choice was. I'm going to talk to that pastor when the service is over because he's off his rocker. You could have said that too, couldn't you? You could have said, I don't know if he's still on pain medication, but he might be. Maybe Sissy's took that, you know, Q-tip up a little high, punctured his brain. The minute I started with the doubt seeds, you should have questioned who? Me. You should not have questioned who? Him. Amen. Help me understand the difference.
Yeah.
You don't question him. You question who? Me. And so when somebody comes to you and starts planting the seeds of doubt in your mind, you fight. You put on the helmet. You fight. And you say, get behind me, Satan, because you're a liar. And any pastor that starts playing those games with you, call them and hold them accountable. You call them on the carpet. How many understand what I just told you? So how many of you understand that what I said to you, I don't actually believe? As far as the seeds of doubt. You know what? God is still on the throne. And he is in charge. And as I said to you last week in closing this message to you, for those of you that have the fear of Donald Trump being the president, or those of you that would have feared whether Hillary Clinton was the president, you need to get a little chutzpah, because they're not in charge. God's in charge. And he sees and knows everything. And how many of you know by now, without any doubt, God's plan will not be thwarted. What he is going to do, he is going to do. Whether or not Trump is in this Oval Room, or Clinton's in the Oval Room, or Mickey Mouse is in the Oval Room, God is still God. How many believe that? All right. I'm going to ask you a question. And if it's in the affirmative, I need you to stand up. I want to give you a bit of bad information. This is probably going to ruin your day. I'm sorry, Katie. You're all going to die.
Yep.
Every one of you in this room, terminal. Turn to somebody and say, he's talking to you, dude. How many of you understand that? Is there any doubt what I just said to you?
No.
How many know you're all terminal?
Yeah.
All right. Now listen to me. You do not get to pick the transportation, but you sure get to pick the destination.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to ask you a very bold question. And if it's true, don't lie to me, I'm old. I don't have a lot of time left. If you know that if today was your last day, if you know for absolutely, positively certain that if today you breathe your last breath, you're going to look into the eyes of the Lord. Stand up. Okay. I am very thankful for those of you that stood up. But I'm more in love with the ones that didn't. Because we need to make sure that we reach out to the ones that aren't sure. Because that's the purpose of our being here. Help me understand that?
Yeah.
That's our purpose for being here. Because somebody loved me enough to tell me the truth. And I accepted it on faith with no doubt. Help me say amen to that.
Amen.